All right, let's go ahead and get started. It is 4:01. And glad to see all of your bright and shiny faces. We prayed and got started in an executive session half an hour ago to discuss some of the items that we needed to take care of internally. But since I'm going to be switching back and forth between agenda and other documents, I think after we complete our roll call and welcome to everybody, then I'll kind of turn the time over to Mariah to guide us through the items of discussion that we have so that we can keep the meeting on track and still make sure we cover all the bases. Does that make sense?
If she's in charge, heaven help us.
Thanks, right. Joe.
So it looks like we've got Jill Green on. And Donna Larson, I don't think I know you, Donna, but hello. Welcome to the meeting. We've got Ben Collinwood that joined us. That's good. And let's see, the Collins are on, and then the board members that we had in the executive meeting. Is there anybody joining us by phone that I can't see? Let's see, Mariah, just checking. You probably have the same thing. Looks like Carrie Lindemann is on, my sister. And Clint, I don't know who Clint is. And then a couple of phone numbers I don't recognize.
That's probably Clint Curtis.
Okay.
Cram.
All right. So I think that can you take care of the roll call on the participants you probably have listed as well?
Yeah, I have it listed, Barry. I'm good.
Good. All right, Mariah, where do you want us to start? We should look at the meeting minutes from our last meeting.
Yes, please.
And so, Kathy, if you want to take over from there.
Hey, I reviewed them. I'm assuming everybody else did. I didn't see any changes that needed to be done. Anybody? Mm-hmm.
I reviewed the meeting minutes. I didn't see any corrections. It was short and sweet, thank goodness.
Thank you, Mariah. So I propose that we pass them.
I'll second that. Are there any board members opposed to accepting the meeting minutes as presented from the December meeting? Well, doesn't look like it. So other than John, who's not here, then looks like the meeting's minutes are accepted unanimously.
Okay, next we have the treasurer report, and then followed by the office report.
Joe, I'm ready for you.
All righty. The checking account, we got $57,356. In the savings, we got $61,150. And the second savings, we got $4,200 in it. The good news is we've collected about $37,000 in association dues. Here it is only today, the 15th, and we have approximately 25% of the dues paid already, so it's looking pretty good. Mariah has informed me that we've got about $20,000 ear tagged for special stuff, and other than that, we're looking good. There's no major problems. Say the mattresses have come in, I've been told, and we've got another solar trailer we're purchasing if we can get a good one, and until that happens, we're just smooth sailing so far.
I will mention during this, just before we have a discussion on finances, that we did receive today through Dirk Clayson, my brother-in-law, a proposal from the BLM. Oh, there's Dirk. You're on here.
Howdy.
How are you?
Great.
Great. So I got a proposal through Dirk from the BLM, indicating that they have been paying their assessment on two lots that they own for the past 20 plus years. And, but they suspended our payment of access fees on roads. And they propose at this point in time that to move forward, that we offset the, or trade the road access fees for their maintenance, their association fees. And since we just got the proposal today, I mentioned it to you and so it can be reflected in the meeting minutes. But as a board, we're going to go ahead and evaluate what's going on, what's happened in the past before we make a proposal and a decision. But that could affect $1,000 of our budget, in budgeted income moving forward, but it'll also save us some money on the expense side. So just making everybody aware of that. We'll evaluate it over the next month or so and then get back. Dirk, do you want us to go directly with you or do you want me to contact the people mentioned in the email?
I think you can go directly to the people in the email, but I'm happy to help since I frequent their office a lot. One thing that I would mention is their fees on their two lot now are $1,000. The Title V fees are the fees on their lots are $500 each, so $1,000 total. The fees for Title V that they would be willing to trade, at least what they talked to me about, were a little over $2,000. And on the other hand, they have waived those for the last 6 years because we made an argument back then that was also a public benefit. Some of that I think is true, but some of the Title V's clearly are, you know, not really public accessed lands. But in any case, I wouldn't try to trade a dollar for dollar because I think it will be more beneficial to just say whatever the Title V fees are, they're traded in lieu for the assessments, and in that way you should come out ahead.
Okay, well, we'll be having a discussion on that. I'll get back to you since you've had history and you were president of the association back then. We'll have a discussion before we make any decision and move on. So
sounds great.
Sorry for jumping in there, Joe. Were you done with your other office or your?
Yeah, no, I got just about covered everything. A few things that Mariah might have when she does hers should cover us.
Okay, I think we're ready for Mariah's report.
Okay, so my plan today was to just review or answer questions regarding the email information that I sent out. That email information is just our year-end reports and data that I collect, statistics of interest that I send out and just let the membership know about. Other than answering questions or reviewing those, if there were any, if you wanted to take a look at them here with me assisting, I didn't have anything else to add to the report at this time other than we had a great, successful year. I will highlight this one. Let me just share this really quick. I would like to share. You'll have to give me just 1 second to pull it up. Okay. So this one. Not the one that I wanted. No, this isn't my revised one. I'm so sorry. I apparently have done a good job at creating a file that I now can't find.
Welcome to my world.
So, let me pull it off my desktop. What it was that I wanted to share was just the revised I'm sorry, I can't think and talk at the same time. Okay. Let me do this now. Here we are. Okay, so what you will see here is just a revision of a review, rather, of our 2020 year and some of the purchases that we made. Let me scroll down here a little bit. And some of the projects that were completed. And I usually try to put together a history every year of some of the things that the ranch accomplished. This year I've also added those who were assisted those projects. As you can see, some of those listed there. And then at the bottom here, I just provide a report of what some of the highlights of the year. And that was the section that I wanted to just highlight at this time. I think one of the greatest things that the ranch offered to all of its members this year were those hosted events that we held over Memorial Day weekend and the 4th of July weekend and Labor Day weekend, where we had a great barbecue. We also had Western Legends was here, but we also had fishing derbies and scavenger hunts. I just felt like that was a great highlight to end the year on, something new that was accomplished, opportunity for members to get together, and those were hosted, of course, by our project manager at our property manager at the ranch. So unless there are any other questions regarding the other documents, I don't have anything else to share.
Thank you. Do any of the members joining us have any questions, or any board members have any questions or comments on their current financial condition and what happened and how we closed out year 2020?
I have no dollar questions. I was kind of curious with Kurt, how's the Land Rover working out?
The Land Rover works great. Really is beneficial to have a designated vehicle to haul laundry. We're going to go into phase two this fall or the spring, and we're going to ask our membership not to bring down their laundry, but just to put their laundry in the bag. And when they leave, we'll bring up the fresh laundry in the fresh bag, and we'll take back the dirty laundry, so they won't have to bother bringing that down anymore. And that gives us the advantage of putting it where we want it when it comes down. But, yeah, the Land Rover's perfect.
Good deal.
Any other questions or comments related to our current financial condition? All right, Mariah, what's next?
Next on the agenda would be our property management report.
Kurt, take it away.
So we have we've begun brush hogging. We completed 30 acres, which is on the other side of Scudamaw from the well field. We have the chemical, and we'll be commencing. I had to order a part for the screen on the sprayer that should be in Wednesday or Thursday. And then we have the next section to be done will be the well field, which is 103 acres. And we have all the chemical for that. And then I'm going to do that. And then when that's completed, then Brad has enough money to buy chemical and to do the other 300 acres with Roland Bean and whoever to spray. I'll be out of it after this 103 acres. And so the whole Broad Hollow area will get mowed. And then I'll be going with the tractor. I'll have a little chemical left aside so that I can get a 12-foot boundary on either side of the road where it's necessary, all the way to the gate. We've got... I had a little chunk of ice in the pressure washer, but I got some posts I'm going to be power washing and rails. I cut into the ceiling of cabin 6. And my idea, what they did essentially was, I thought they built a roof over the two roofs on 6, 9, and 10, because it's two cabins that are sandwiched together. And what they did was they just went from the peak of each cabin and just put a cap over it, so it'll be a lot easier than I thought for me to build a bearing wall in the center and then drop that ceiling to raise that ceiling to eight feet in there with. Won't be too difficult. I had Anson come up and just double check what I wanted to do, and he thought it was a great idea. And then we had a 4-inch water line broke in the corrals, and that is repaired now and T-chlored and been working fine. And looking forward to I'm poised to do a bunch of get rolling on projects. So kind of excited we get a lot of stuff done this winter.
Good. I have a question for you, if that's all you got right now.
Yeah.
And this might be a question for you or Mariah, to be honest with you. I don't know. So we finished the well field project for watering cattle there. Have we processed, or do we know where we're at as far as getting the money from that program to be able to reimburse us for what we did in the tires and the work that we already completed?
There's no money been received yet. When I was helping Norris Brown with his fence, I'd asked him if he worked with this outfit before, and he said they were very good to work with. It just took a while to get the money, and I warned Brad about that, and he's finding out to be true.
I guess my question is more specific. Have we done everything we need to do to process that request for money, or are we waiting for Brad to do something?
Nope. We're on the water projects. We've done our part.
But we've not submitted any receipts or anything like that, if that's part of your question.
Based on our meeting that we had over the phone a few months ago, I don't know that we have to submit receipts. They have to come out and simply inspect the project's in and done. And whether it costs us $5 or $5 million, they don't care. They write the check for whatever the project is allocated. So turning in receipts I don't think is necessary or part of the process.
So we kept track of everything that we've spent, and we'll get reimbursed for that from the hunt.
So I guess that's what I meant by turning in receipts. I have not turned any receipts into the hunts to request payment back for those items once they receive that money. I would think that's part of the process. Am I in error there?
Well, I don't know what this hunts process is, but somebody needs to follow up, and I guess I'm asking who can follow up with Brad and say, where's our money and when can we expect it and what do you need from us to get it?
I'm on
so
that.
I see Kurt raising his hand. Go ahead,
does
Kathy.
Does that come to us directly or does that go to Brad and then from Brad to us?
It has to go to Brad. It has to go through Hunt Cattle Company, unfortunately. We will get our money from the hunts.
Now, just so you know, the water troughs initially failed because they did not like our rodent protection ladders, and they had a specific design, but Brad went out there and he redid all of them exactly the way they want them done. So I'm waiting on them to come out because the 30 acres that I did is one part completed that they'll pay on also.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you guys know how to build proper squirrel ladders. We need to learn how to do that so that we can.
Yeah, I'll be doing a class this summer.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions for the property manager from anybody? All right. Mariah, what's next?
Next on the agenda is to review the letter of concern from Dave Turley.
Has Dave joined us? Does anybody else have any comments on that? Because it's hard to discuss if we don't have somebody to discuss it with. For those of you that aren't familiar, then one of our members wrote an open letter to the membership. You all probably got a copy of it, where he expressed some dissatisfaction with the condition of mainly headquarters, and we've discussed that in our last two meetings, and we'll be doing better on maintaining and upgrading some of those things. Part of the reason why that's been delayed is simply because there's been other projects that had priority that had to be done when they had to be done. So any questions or concerns or any comments? All right, what's next?
Next is our review of the certified water operator proposal of increase to contract pay with Jeff Nicholson.
Is Jeff on somewhere? All right. I propose that we have Mariah communicate with Jeff and ask him to submit a proposal. We can't make a decision on what to pay or what not to pay without a proposal from him. He's an independent contractor, and he should simply submit in writing what he proposes, and then we can evaluate it and possibly modify it. Any objection to that?
No.
I think we're all in agreement. I think we're all in agreement that that it would be fair for him to be paid more money than what he is being paid, because the job has turned out to be bigger and more important than we thought. But I don't want to guess what he wants or what would be fair. So unless there's an objection, then Mariah, would you please contact Jeff and ask him to submit a written proposal?
I'd be happy to.
Perfect. All right, what's next?
Next, to review the 2021 special project budget request, and I suppose that would go hand in hand with the review and discussion and finalize of the 2021 budget, which follows that on the agenda.
I would prefer to take those in reverse order. Let's do the regular budget first, and then let's talk about special projects. Is that okay?
That sounds great.
All right.
I'll go ahead and pull up the budget on the screen for you. Is that okay?
If you wouldn't mind pulling it up and then walking it through for us, comparing the 20 to 21. I don't think we need to go line item by line item, but if you can point out where you think where there have been material changes, then we can evaluate it, and then each person can ask questions related to their area, and we'll go from there.
I think that sounds great. Okay, so as you can see, I have that pulled up right now, the 2021 budget worksheet. Just a quick explanation. I went through each category and made my best judgment, considering what we spent last year and what I felt like was reasonable for this year, and that's how I've set up the budget. You'll notice when we get to the bottom of the budget that I anticipate that we will have money remaining. Of course, that is what we expected because we have just raised the assessments. So, in other words, I believe we have been able to retain that extra and not built it into the budget at this time for allocation to somewhere else. So, as you will see here, we have a category section. This is our income section. So, all of these items to the left are those that we received for income. The next column is the 2020 budget. That is the amount that we set for 2020. The next column, year end 20, is the amount that we spent in full for the year 2020. And then you will see the next column, the 2021 budget proposal, and then any notes that might follow that. So income, I've gone through and added, it's a fairly short section. For our income, as you can see, we have had a raise in the assessments, as you'll see in column F. So that amount is higher than in column D, line item number one there, where we were at 140,000 expected last year. We now can anticipate 146,000. And that's based on 292 paying memberships. The other places that I'd like to note, just in income briefly, I have increased what I anticipate our income will be for cabin rental income. As you can see here, where I hope you can see my cursor here, my little plus sign here. Okay, we have had that about 12,000. Just the column here next door, I'll move my cursor here. As you can see, last year we brought in $20,000 in cabin rental fees. That was phenomenal. And so I have upped what I hope we can bring in as our budget to the $14,500 based on that amount. That's conservative. You'll find that I'm a conservative person when it comes to money and expectations. Our livestock grazing income amount will remain the same and does on this form. And then down here at the bottom, hopefully you can see my cursor there again, in column F. The $15,000, again, is another raise in what I anticipate we will be able to receive for income. That is thanks to Larry Clarkson and his work with the Ponsonant Wildlife Association and the grant money that we received through that program, if grant money is the appropriate term to use there. And so we can also see an increase there. So bottom line is, in 2020, we had hoped to bring in $182,955. In 2021, it's reasonable to assume that we should be able to bring in $191,775, and that is what we will build our budget on for this year. going through the categories, because the list is so long for expenses, I'll move down here a bit and then stop so that you can catch up on your screen. I've gone through and categorized them for all of the expenses that we have, and some of them are broken down tremendously by very individual amounts. I have gone through and, again, assessed them and tried to make my best guess and judgment. I have changed some items, increasing them where they need to be increased and decreasing them where they need to be decreased. For example, let me find a section here that would be applicable. Let me take this fuel expense section. In the past, we have had bills for fuel be upwards of $8,000, $9,000. As you will see in this column, column E, where my cursor is now placed, just on fuel, we spent $2,700 this year. That's a significant savings from years prior. And I feel like that has come as good management. So as you can see, I have reduced that budget to $5,000 for next year. Still giving us enough room that if we know a lot of projects were stalled out. We stopped a lot of our projects this year to ensure we had money. So I don't want to completely drop that number out, but I do feel like that that's a reasonable amount. But that would be an area that I would suggest that the board may want to look at and decide if you feel comfortable with that. Otherwise, another area that you may want to discuss, as you'll see, we have some fixed expenses with insurances and general operating expenses that can't change. They have to meet the amounts that we owe, so they have not been adjusted very far. Regular budgets. Let me find another section here that would be helpful. I did in this budget for roads this year. As you can see, last year's budget is here listed in column D. There is that right-of-way fees right there that we've been discussing that's set aside each year. Anyway, I have raised the roads budget and contracted services. Hopefully, we're going to get some more rain, and hopefully, we're going to get some more road work done. So I did put in a little bit of extra money to the roads section, as we had hoped to do. Cabins, I did not increase based on the assessments. I felt like that there were some requests for special projects where that money might be allocated to rather than just right to a specific cabin. So you'll find that from the extra money we're receiving for the assessments, that information will be included below. So coming down to the end, again, just reiterating that these budgets we've just looked at are our general operating budgets. It's meant to be a maintenance account, and these are not special project amounts. These are amounts that are just there for the general maintenance and upkeep of those particular areas. So as you can see here in column F, right where my cursor is, the 2021 budget would look as follows. Our total anticipated income is $191,775. Our total anticipated expenses is $186,781, which gives us an additional close to $5,000 to work with. I think that's fantastic. Down below, you will see where we go into the special projects request list. And Barry, I think you wanted to answer questions about the budget first before we discuss this section. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you don't mind, let's just see if, do any of you take a minute and do any of the members of the board in your specific area have any concern with the proposed budget numbers? Some of them have gone down based on what we've been able to do this year. Some of them have gone up because we know we're going to have to spend more money in particular areas. But I don't want to nitpick what you do or what you don't do in your particular area. So if there are any questions, comments, concerns from board members or from the membership, right now is your chance to pipe up.
I do have one question.
I do too.
Go to item number 6, if you would.
Back up here in the expenses.
Right. Number 6.
Which category?
The first one. In line order, one through whatever. Go to number 6 on the far left.
Excuse me. There we are.
livestock grazing. We collected 12,000. I did the QuickBooks the other day, and it seems to me that we got the whole 12,000 on the last week in December. And my only question is, can that be changed to twice a year payment so we could have a little more in the budget up in the middle without waiting to the last day of the month?
That's a great
idea. Or the contract stipulates otherwise?
Short answer is no. Unfortunately, no. We agreed, because they don't have money until they sell the calves, that we agreed to accept the money at the end of the season. I didn't expect it would be the last week in December, but sometime between October and December is when we're going to get the money, and that's what the contract calls for, that later in the year payment. So,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, my question is the BLM right away. You said $500 last year and proposing $500 for this year, but yet maybe I heard it wrong, that we haven't been paying that.
That's correct.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Kathy.
No, so that means that $500 for the right-of-way fee should be a zero, right, if we haven't been paying for it?
Correct. So as you'll see here in this column, in column E, you'll see that last year it was not paid. Invoices haven't been received for that. I don't think that fees have been pursued to be paid for that. We had it. It was being paid for 4 years at a time. So technically, that should be coming up, or should have come up in 2018. And may very well have been paid, but this amount would go, if it's not spent here, would go into the savings account to be ready for when it is due. So if, in fact, it was renewed in 2018, we should expect to be paying another bill in 2022, but setting aside money each year to be able to afford that.
So we have been paying that then. It's not, I thought that we had not been paying it, but we have been paying it, correct?
I don't know that that's a correct statement. I need to look back through the files. I do not believe that I have written a check for right-of-way fees since I've been here, since 2016.
Okay.
Nor have we been invoiced for it.
I can answer that some. So the BLM right-of-way fees should be paid for annually. In 2014, we basically made a case with the BLM that these were not just a private property benefit, but they were a benefit to the public at large. And they waived the fees and have ever since. The Title V's are typically good for 10 or 20 years. Most of them I've seen 20 years. I know we made sure they were all renewed back then, and it is something that we should always keep renewed. And the fees, they told me, if they were assessed today, would be a little over $2,000 per year. And that's kind of what they're proposing, that they would exchange those annual fees for their $1,000 HOA dues.
I guess I need a little bit of a teaching course. I know this is on the budget, but that Title V, is that part of the maintenance on that road for access from BLM and Forest? And why
we have several roads. For example, the road that goes from Meadow Canyon Road over to Podunk that runs through the BLM.
So the
or the road that goes from Meadow Canyon over to Slide Canyon that runs through BLM. Those are not on their travel management plan as open roads. And they are easements that the ranch had secured to ensure that they wouldn't be closed or challenged or provide inadequate evidence for policies of title insurance and other things when selling property. So that's what those BLM fees are for. So roads like the Scudamore Road and even the lower portion of the Slide Canyon Road that have been granted a Class D or a Class B road condition to the county, we do not pay or have individual private easements for those.
And I think for the purposes of the budget discussion,
I know. I think
we still need to budget some amount because we don't have a deal yet. But if we're able to reach a deal, most likely then it's going to mean $1,000 less money on our income line, and the $2,000 or whatever the current fee is for those Title V roads will be exchanged off, so it will go away. So right now, I think we need to leave the budget the way it is. But you're right, that doesn't belong there if we have a deal. We just don't have a deal yet.
As a side note, for somebody who wants to look into it, the county was able to work through the legal process to get some of the Title V easements that the county used as easements into perpetuity. And if there's any way to ask or do that as part of this exchange so that there's not the tripwire of somebody having to remember every 10 or 20 years to renew the easement documents, that would be beneficial.
Good idea. Well, we'll like I said, we'll have a discussion on that and try to nail that down so we have a permanent solution here in the next few weeks. So,
great.
I did have one question. If you could go back, I'm not sure if I saw it correctly or not, but go back to the line item for brush hogging.
Sure. Okay, sorry, I had to think about where I was going. Which way do I go? I went the wrong way. See, there we are.
Oh yeah.
So that budget amount is going from 500 to 5,000, 10 times, you know, greater. Is that we're catching up from work that was not done in the past? Why is that number so much bigger?
So I did feel like the $500, once I've talked to Kurt and heard what you have, as a board, have talked about and the amount of money that needs to go out to just do regular brush hogging and the amount of acreage that we need to cover with that brush hogging, I felt like $500 was a completely insufficient number and probably not even a drop in the bucket. So I did increase that tenfold, and thank you for catching that. I meant to bring that up for the board to review. That's a number I guesstimated at. I have no other foundational basis other than just gathering information and making a good guess.
And the chemical runs about $60 a gallon. We're spraying it at a rate of a half a gallon per acre. So just the cost of the chemical is $30 an acre plus the time. So I think that's reasonable to hit the pocket areas that are on private land that we need to hit, such as the sides of the roads and stuff like that. And then we can gauge
the brush hogging line item in the past has just been problem areas that we had to take care of just for cleaning brush off. What we're doing now is quite a bit different, where we're brush hogging and spraying chemical to try to permanently get rid of it. So we're doing it. It's really not apples to apples comparison. We are catching up somewhat because I'm not sure that much brush hogging's been done ever in the past, really a lot to speak of. So we have a program to try to address a concern that's built up over 15 or 20 years. Plus, we're actually doing a different program altogether, because we're trying to kill the rabbit brush specifically permanently so it doesn't come back, and that requires not just cutting it down, but it means cutting it down twice at two different times and treating it with chemicals. So that's I think the increase for what we're going and what we're doing, if we're serious about addressing the rabbit brush problem, then that's what it's going to, that's a minimum amount we're going to have to spend to get on top of it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, from what I've been told, I don't think the 5,000 is going to be enough. If we do everything we want to do, we're going to be a little short there probably, if anything.
Well, I think we get started with this. It's not right there, but I don't think we're going to eat the whole elephant this year. So we just need to fit in what we can and address the concern to the extent we can and move forward.
Yeah, $5,000 gives us something to work with, but we keep pretty good records now, and we'll know exactly what we have invested in it by next year.
I did find an error while we were looking at this category. I've highlighted it here with my cursor next to it. I'm not exactly sure why I have an uneven number here, but I feel like that this amount is probably not a maintenance amount and could be adjusted. That amount would be more of a special project amount.
Yeah, that should be special projects. Maintenance should be actually much less than that. So.
Okay, so I've just made that change. I've made it to what the budget was last year. Would you like to see that adjusted further to a lower amount?
I personally think that for maintenance for the corrals and stuff, it should be like $500. But there needs to be the money you took off there needs to be added to a special project of rebuilding the barn and corral area as a capital improvement.
I agree, and I think that has been listed down here below.
Yeah, I saw barn restoration. There you go.
I don't see anywhere here where that's been added, so I'm going to go ahead and add that at this time so that it's here. Whoops. Okay. So that's in the special projects account. I'll move back up here to budgets.
I've got a question for you, Mariah, on the fuel expense that you had shown earlier. The decrease, I was curious what the decrease is primarily from, going from that 8,500 down to like 27. And does that fuel expense, does that include the like regular truck fuel, or is that just the diesel fuel for the generator? Just curious on that, because we're looking at that solar, possibly, you know, installing some solar panels to replace that. So I wanted to know how much fuel would be saved if it was replaced.
Now, that's a great question. So as you can see in this section where we have the $5,000 for the unleaded, and I've also labeled it ethanol-free, I would say, to be very honest, one of the reasons we're saving money, such a huge, enormous amount of money, is by use of good management. We've had caretakers in the past who have used ranch fuel, but also purchased fuel outside of the ranch, costing us higher amounts in that, and making several trips back and forth to Kanab or to St. George or beyond. And of course, all of that adds up. And so this year, under our new property manager, our property manager has been efficient with the trips that they've made. They have been efficient with use of their personal vehicle on their own dime versus the use of the ranch vehicle with the ranch fuel purchased at bulk. And again, with the diesel, I'm afraid I'll have to default to somebody else on whether we're using diesel for a vehicle or just for the generator.
Well, the diesel we use on the equipment, and the amount, Mike, to answer your question about what we use on the generator, we don't use. It costs about $30 in fuel to fill up the 40,000 gallon tank. Now, we're not filling it up every day. We're filling it up once every 2 weeks. The generator runs on. It does not take that much fuel. On the gasoline side, we still had 2,000 gallons in the old fuel tank, and so I opted out of purchasing more because we want to install the new fuel tank, and we'll transfer whatever is left over into that. So when I have a personal trip to town, I try to take care of ranch business too, so it doesn't cost the ranch.
I got a comment. In order to support Mariah's comment on the fuel, being the treasurer, I go through all the checks to make sure everything is valid. and approximately 25 checks a month and sometimes 35 checks a month were off the ranch, which means the vehicle was either in Page, Kanab, St. George, and those checks no longer coming in. All that money is being saved with the windshield time going to all those places.
Does that answer your question, Ben?
Not sure. Not really.
I'm sorry. I thought it was Mike. I'm sorry, Ben.
No worries. I was just, you know, I was just trying to ascertain, like, okay, are we spending out of that roughly $4,000, I think, for fuel this year or this last year, and apparently almost 11,000 in years prior. You know, how much of that is from the diesel generator? And so I got kind of the question. So $30 to fill up the 40,000 gallon tank.
Right.
So each time, and then you blanked out.
I'm going to say we're maybe spending tops $1,000 a year on the. We're not spending $1,000 a year on the generator for fuel.
Okay.
The other reason for the drop, just not to take anything away from Kurt or anyone else, but fuel prices are lower now than they have been in years past. So that factors in as well. I mean, there's been times that we've been upwards of $4 a gallon and now we're at $2.25 or something. So
yeah, so it's dropped in half. And Kurt, did you say that the 40,000 gallon tank is filled up roughly once per week?
Once every 2 weeks.
Once every 2 weeks. Okay.
Even during the busy season.
Yeah, even during the, I mean, you know, June and July are the busiest months, and that's when we use the most water. But bear in mind that includes the upper cabins, which has its own water system, which doesn't run off of the generator. It's solar.
Okay. Thanks.
And if I don't leave the hose on in the orchard, there's one fill up we don't have to worry about.
All right. Any questions or any other concerns with the budget? Or are we ready to vote on the basic budget itself? Because that's the main purpose of this meeting, is to deal with the two parts of the budget, even if we don't get anything else done. Doesn't sound
Mariah,
like it.
Mariah, real fast question. You said you took away from the cabin. What are the individual cabins expenses? I'm sorry, I missed that.
No, you're just fine. That's a great question. I actually didn't adjust cabins except for to make an increase for the amount of money that we need for propane based on the information that we used that I had from this year. So if you can take a look, I've just highlighted column E where my cursor is, and column E shows how much we spend in propane this last year. Now, we've had an increase and the number of cabins being used, and that's fantastic. But with that use comes an increase in propane. So I did make an adjustment. As you can see, the 2020 budget was $3,500. I've adjusted the budget to be at $4,500 for this next year. Otherwise, overall, each cabin will receive, there are 10 cabins. Each cabin will receive $400 for furnishings, $480 for maintenance, $450 for propane, and then our cabin supplies and consumables. I did not change that budget. Laundry, I did decrease. Again, effective property management has been able to keep all of our laundry done on the ranch, saving us, as you can see, awesome. Almost half of that budget we can put somewhere else. And then landfill and trash hauling, I did increase. Some of that isn't necessarily cabin related, but also part of the headquarters cleanup, which I know is a priority of the board. So I anticipate that will continue to be a little bit higher. So overall, that's where we've landed for cabins. Does that feel comfortable to you, Kathy?
Yeah, that's I didn't see the individuals, and that's where I was trying to get to what we have for repairs and maintenance and stuff. So
okay, great.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if there are no other comments or anything else, I would entertain a motion to obviously we can amend as necessary if we need to, but I think that we approve the tentative budget for calendar year 2021. If anybody cares to make a motion, second it.
I'll make a motion.
And I'll second it.
Got the motion?
I'll second it.
Kathy second it. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, let's move on to the special.
Hey, Barry?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got a comment. It's not going to affect what just the budget or anything like that, but I want it seems like this is the most appropriate spot for it during the special projects. I stayed in the cabins recently, even the renovated one, and I wanted to just make a recommendation for folks. As these cabins get renovated, I'd like to suggest that you remove the carpets. I was noticing that when you have the carpets, like nobody can vacuum them, right? And the little thingy, if there is one in there, doesn't really work. And it honestly makes the cabins really dirty and kind of yucky looking. And
that's on the radar, Ben. Good call.
Yeah. Okay. Is that on the radar? Because I noticed that there was still some carpet even in one of the renovated cabins. And I thought it was so much easier to just sweep and make it look nice when it's just hardwood floors or tile or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
carpet is not our friend.
I'm only recommending that for cabins that are used in the summer because in the wintertime, honestly, carpet makes a big difference on your feet, right, when you're walking around for cold
water.
It's
throwing a rug.
So, yeah.
I think everything from houseboats to cabins are all going to vinyl plank to where it's waterproof and you don't have to worry a whole lot about it. It's inexpensive. And so I think we'll be looking at that there. Carpet doesn't make sense as a ranch. Thank you for that comment, though. All right, let's talk about special projects. Mariah, you want to guide us through what you've got so far and how you want to address this?
Yes. First, I'd like to just say thank you, Board, for the time that you took to go through and use the submission form that Kurt created online with Google Docs that we were able to watch and see. So I've gone through and taken that information and compiled it here. What you'll see on this report are several requests for special projects or our special project wish list, if you want to call it that. The only projects that I received a request to do this year will have dollar amounts. Everything else will be left blank for future years. I just noticed an error. I'm going to fix this really quick. Otherwise, that will bother me because we have a heater for cabin 10 already. Anyway, so as you'll see, these items with amounts, this first one under the agriculture category, Podak fencing project is a request for $2,000. Now, I took the liberty to put that amount in, Kathy. I know you and I talked, and we just still weren't sure. We weren't sure how much we were going to need or how long the fence was going to be and all of that information. So I just took the liberty of throwing out a number just for conversation's sake on that one.
Yeah, until we get the map from the BLM, it's going to be hard to give you a number. But, yeah, that's
right.
That's
right. Yeah. So the other budgets that are special projects that have been requested, as you can see here, the upper cabins, 1, 2, 3, and 4, a request for $10,000. That request is for a solar trailer for mattresses, replacement refrigerators, barring that we receive that solar trailer, and some flooring in cabin 3, and that would be managed by Joe and Candy Bose. Lower cabins, we have a request for $16,000 for a special project to complete mattress sets in cabins 7 and 8, which I believe are already in process, and then the cabin 6 remodeling project.
Mariah, real fast, we need to add the solar panel on the lower cabins too, and then also put me down for working with Kurt on that project manager so we make sure that between the two of us we've got that contact. But, yeah. That we need to add that. And that was agreed last month. I just didn't get it put on that. So we will
solar
probably
panel
need
for what?
Set them in. What?
What solar panel?
The solar
trailer. I think she means a solar trailer.
Solar trailer, yeah.
Okay, well, that's
so we're getting two. So we need one for the lower cabins and we need one for the upper cabins.
So the one we have already, do we need to include that in a dollar amount? I've got one included up above. Can we remove that one since we have it?
Okay. If you have and not including that as part of that, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that we've got that in there. So,
part of that.
Right. No, the solar – so I'll note the solar trailer, but as you noted, the $16,000 does not include the purchase of the solar trailer because we already have that.
Okay, I didn't know if you had that for the upper or the lower, so
yeah,
I wasn't sure. I thought they were putting that one at the ranch.
Right, I haven't added amounts. So
okay, so
this is just a note.
Okay. The thought, Brent and I went over it, and the upper cabins has no power or access to power. So they would be the ones to get a solar trailer first. Hopefully we'll get two of them, but the lower cabins, we can always fire up the generator. They do have electricity if they need it. So.
And so we already acquired the one solar trailer.
We have
and
one.
So the purchase is allocated here in this $10,000.
Right.
That amount would help us buy a solar trailer for the upper cabins. Is that right?
Lower. That we got the one for the upper.
Oh, right. The lower. Right. Okay. Gotcha.
We'll get it.
We got it. As long as we got the figures, because we got it upside down, so that's fine, as long as it's put in there.
Okay. The next project for request is a $20,000. This is the one I just added, board, and sent you a revised document on. This is the RV pad for the work campers. Kurt, I didn't get a chance to put it in.
Okay, so the RV for the work campers, and by the way, that includes propane and everything, but and this is something that I need to do a whole presentation on, but work campers, we have access to folks that drive very nice RVs. In exchange for a place to park them, they would work 3 days a week. And this proposal is for three sites, and these three sites would be located along the ridge down from cabin six. There's a ridge behind there, so you wouldn't see them from the road. They could have their own entrance, so they wouldn't be bothering going in and out of cabin six. And we got three sites with plenty of, I got with Larry, plenty of room for three sites with privacy. We have water up there already. All we got to do is tap into it. I spoke with Larry about the cost of the septic, the road, the pads, gravel, everything is included in that. And that's something that we can jump on in fairly short order, and it'll completely change the demographic of how we do things at the ranch, because we'll have people in exchange for those spaces. They'll be able to take care of a lot of the cabin work, laundry and stuff like that, and then I can refocus energies elsewhere.
Okay. So then moving down the way, we have another request for – fences and corrals. That's the one that I just added previously from the budget above to fix those. I'm assuming, Kurt, does this also include the petting zoo area?
Yeah. There's I kind of got an idea formulated for the petting zoo and the corrals. And bear in mind, the big issue that I have with everything at the headquarters fence-wise is it's all done with Ponderosa. The fence is virtually rotten at the ground level all the way around the playground area and a lot of the other fence in front of the store and the ranch house. The same material was used for the corrals, though it was dipped in oil. It'll last longer, but it's still not a long-term thing. And so I would like to take part of the corral that's unfinished and kind of move that material down to the petting zoo and the lower corral area and the upper corral area. I would like to start putting in well casing and sucker rod corrals that last just years and years and years. And then as we need to replace the Ponderosa fencing below, we'll replace it with sucker rod and well casing.
Okay, the next special project we have is...
Before you move on that one, just one comment, Kurt, and that is, I think that you're going in the right direction, but before we get under any of these projects, I'd like to have us to design out what we're looking at and come back to the board so that we can see a visual representation of what's going to happen, whether that's where the blacksmith shop was or rebuilding the fences or remodeling the barn. I think it's important, at least for me, and maybe I'm just a control freak, but I'd like to know beforehand, here's a design of what we're going to do and on paper so that we can accept it or approve it as a board. And then 2 years from now, when I'm not on the board anymore, you don't have to face somebody criticizing you. You can look back in the minutes and say, here's a picture of exactly what was approved and here's the signatures of the officers of the company, so leave me alone. Right. So let's
this $3,200 just kind of popped up. I've just recently kind of got that idea rolling, and absolutely it should have a drawing and a design idea, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, but I think on any of these projects, we need to start committing them to paper rather than just discussing what would be not. This is from past, but we need to kind of have a design of what we're looking at and have it on paper and review it as a board and then move forward. But I think it's right. We need to allocate some funds to these things.
On those refrigerators back up there, I happened to look up the most energy efficient refrigerator and a compact one. And I have a number for you if you want to put it in as a budgetary item. So I found that, you know, probably the best or most efficient refrigerators using less amount of electricity, but still a decent size, were $220 a piece. So if you did 10 of them, you're looking at $2,200. You might tax on
that. That's awesome.
That's a great price.
Yeah, maybe $2,500 would be a good budgetary item or line item for that.
Awesome. Thank you, Ben.
What was the amperage draw on those? Do you know?
I don't know. Sorry.
Because I was looking at them yesterday at Lowe's, and they were in the $500 range, but they were 1.2 amps, which is acceptable, and a couple were in 2.5 amps. After that, they jumped to 6 amps, which would kill the solar system. So we got to stay below 3 amps if at all possible.
Okay.
Hey, Kurt, this is Mike. A quick question for you. On the I've heard about the idea of using guest workers in the past, and in general, I think it's a good idea. My question is, I'm not experienced with it. What kind of liability exposure would we have for the ranch, and how can we mitigate that?
That's a Barry question.
I can answer that.
That's a Barry question. He's got a plan, though.
The beauty of having a property manager is they would that Kurt's company would engage those people. They would work for and make arrangements with him, and we would have no liability because he's an independent contractor. So it protects us from liability from anything that they may or may not do wrong.
Great.
Okay. Anything else on that?
Nope, I think we're ready to move on to the next few items.
Okay, so the next item on there I have is headquarters water improvements. It's kind of a multi thing. Sprinklers will conserve water a lot and conserve time that's being spent dragging a hose around. It's really a ridiculous amount of time that's spent to maintain the grass. And we need the spigot removed from the middle of the yard, and because it's not working, it leaks when it's open. But we need to run the water, the main water line would be run outside the fence of the headquarters to the back. And then a water source would be provided for the washer and dryer. The way it's done now is we have a hose that goes from the hot water heater to the washing machine, and then from the hose spigot, another hose goes to the cold water on there. And to eliminate the hoses, and last year I had to replace the mixers on the washing machine because just from the hoses hanging on them, it broke the mixer. So, and then also to put a drip system out for the orchard and the sprinkler system. The sprinklers for the playground would be run off of what the garden area has already been plumbed for.
Any questions on that for anybody? I think it would be more efficient. I don't know what the cost is. I haven't looked into it, but I think it's a good idea for us to automate a few of these things and get pipes underground rather than running hoses all the time, just so that it's permanent and less maintenance. So I think it's worth setting aside some money to do that. Ranch house insulation obviously is self-explanatory. That needs to be done. It should have been done two or three years ago. So.
And frankly, that's the only reason why it's on there. That is the only item that I left on there just because we were wanting to do that several years ago. The next item in recreation, we have three items for recreation. First is a common use picnic and camping site on lot 7475. Our project manager would be Larry Clarkson, and he's requesting $2,000 to accomplish that. And Larry, you're welcome at any time to explain these yourself if you would like to.
When I put that in there, I actually had put on lot basically wanting to utilize the four association lots, 198 in Slide Canyon, lot 1 in Podunk, and 74 and 75 in Crawford. And I came up with that $2,000 item, planning to spend roughly $500 on each of those four lots, cleaning up a particular spot, creating a usable driveway or access in where members could set up a camper, set up a tent, maybe put a picnic table on each of them. That's the thought, and it was just a beginning point. Obviously, if there other members have some input and want to participate or enhance, that $500 on four different lots doesn't go a very long ways, but that was the starting point. The $4,500 on the next line item for the fish pond improvement was what we had started out with last year. We were going to do that $1,500 per pond of the three ponds to remove willows, line the ponds with larger rocks, and try to create a more level bank embankment around the ponds to fish from, and maybe clean it up a little bit with some gravel so people aren't walking in cow pies or willow stump sticks. And then the 185 item, the restroom at fish ponds, we need to do something there. We've talked about just a temporary type porta potty, but we'd like to go ahead and start a more permanent structure, outhouse type situation there, and those are pretty darn expensive, but at least that was a beginning. So I'm open to other suggestions of any other board members or members to go along with those three items.
Well, I think I'll chip in. I think we need to move forward on those. So, and we may not be able to complete all the improvements this year, but we need to get started and make those areas a little bit more user-friendly and a little bit more attractive for our members so that they can spend time there rather than just being either in the dust or, you know, trying to hike their way. Or, I mean, there's a safety issue as far as the rim of the ponds and what we have as far as docks and some of those kind of things that really needs to be cleaned up so that we're not going to have problems with somebody falling or cutting themselves or something like that. So
some of the work that we've done with the upper cabin water system, Kurt and I and Brent and others, we've talked a little about needing to better secure that overall area, the ponds and the spring, making them 100% cow-proof 100% of the days of the year. In the past, we've allowed cattle supposedly in there on certain times to clear them out, and in reality, I'm opposed to that. I think that obviously the drinking water source and the fish ponds need to be people areas and no cows at any time, which means that the grass and grounds need to be set up in such a way that we can mow it if needed, or, you know, we've used the excuse of saying, well, we're going to let cows in there to eat off the grass so it's not a fire hazard. Well, it's been so dry that no grass has grown anyway, and all the cows do is stir up the dust and poop in the fish water. So anyway, that's a beginning point, and I've had probably 10 different members say, hey, I'd like to work on a pond improvement So I'm working on a map right now, and that's one thing, like all our projects, we need to commit them to paper, to make some Google Earth images, and so people can visualize what we're all talking about and then start making it happen on the ground.
It makes sense to me. Any questions on those items in recreation? All right, let's talk about water sources real quick. I think they're fairly self-explanatory. The monitoring of the 40-gallon tank is already in process, and we have a decent system, but we need to make some improvements and maintain that. That's a small enough amount of money. It's not significant. We need to finish the Half Moon Reservoir watering station and pump, and I just put in what we roughly talked about with Brent and Vance and some of the others, just to set that aside because we were going to do it this year and we canceled, so that's there. I don't have it bid out. There is a plan in place as to what is supposed to happen there, which we've already, you know, reviewed and voted on, but I'm a little anxious to see how that can fit in. It's certainly not priority number one, but it should happen at some point in time to save some of Kurt's time and to make that area more usable for livestock and wildlife. It will save us having to do a lot of stuff with the Half Moon Reservoir that this year has been basically dry the entire year. The bottom one is something that I put in here kind of as a space saver. Some of you may or may not know, but we've talked about connecting the upper water system that currently comes out of a spring because there's some concern that the outflow of that spring is decreasing and we may have issues with water service in the future. Connect that to my dad's project coming out of the Meadow Canyon spring. And I've talked to him a little bit and we've gone back and forth on what it would cost for us to hook the upper cabin water system to the Meadow Canyon water system. And we've made a little progress here and there, but I put the number in based on this, and we'd obviously have to have discussion because he has not indicated one way or the other he wants to participate. But when we have someone connect to the lower cabin water system, a user down there, we charge them $5,000. And so it seemed to me that it would be in the ballpark of what's fair. I'm not, again, I can only speak for myself, and I have no commitments from anybody else. But it would seem to me that since we have basically five connections up there, that we would be willing to pay to connect into someone else's water system the same amount that we charge others to connect into our water system. So that's where the $25,000 came from. The systems themselves are in the process of being connected as a safety net right now, but as we move forward, we're going to have to finalize and formalize that agreement, especially if the spring continues to decrease in output, which it decreased during the summer, and then I understand it started increasing a little bit again. But that's there to pay for basically a hookup fee if we need to connect the two systems together and provide a consistent source of water to the upper cabins. So that's where that came from. Any questions?
Barry, that you've got $5,000 per connection for five connections. That's one for each of the four cabins and one for the grove area or a water station, or what's the fifth?
In the past, and we've had, as you guys may remember, we've had water service to the pad where the other cabins were supposed to go.
Okay.
And then we also had a connection and a faucet water service in the grove area, and then we had another water service down at the ponds. Now, none of those are permanent, and in fact, most of the time then those were locked up so they couldn't be used. But I anticipate we need, in addition to the cabins themselves, we'll need some water service down in the grove or the pond area, so that's where that came from.
Okay. And that's, Alan, for those that don't know, the reason that the cabins were removed from cabin site number 5 was because that if we had put in septic systems in that location, it would have directly contaminated the spring that feeds all of the cabins. So if we no longer are relying on that spring for water, we may go ahead and do something on cabin 5 area. Maybe it's just a big pavilion or a gathering spot. Who knows what it would be, but it would make that spot a little more usable now that we're not we did not use it as a cabin spot because the septic system would contaminate the spring, and that may not be an issue now.
Any questions? I just have one question for Mariah, and that is, okay, we've got $95,000 in special projects. Where does that money come from, and do we have that to be able to – there's other other factors involved, but if we have time and are able to, do we have money to be able to complete those projects this year?
Okay, so to answer that question, here's where the money would come from. So going back up here, as you can see, we have decided on a budget that would leave us with $7,000 of revenue. That money was meant to be put towards specific things, and I think that money could be used to take care of one of those items. From there, the only other option that we have is two things, actually. Number one, to vote which are the priorities and decrease the amounts that we're asking for and only accomplish a portion this year and a portion next year. The second item is we do have money in savings. I'm unprepared at the moment, but I can look it up without a problem to see how much money we have left in the savings that we could allocate to. Oh, excuse me. Joe told us. So we have $61,000 in our savings account. $20,000 of that needs to remain. That $20,000 is to take care of expenses that are big ticket replacement things that we might have that happen on the ranch. So that gives us about $40,000. So all in, I would imagine we have about $47,000 we could work with, understanding that we would be depleting any extra in our savings. That's the best idea.
Well, again, these special projects can't all happen at once just because we don't have the manpower to do them. And these are somewhat rough estimates as to what it will cost. I know that that Ben submitted a proposal that I reviewed briefly today, a little bit about putting solar on all the cabins and those kind of things, which is definitely something we're working towards, whether that's through the solar trailers or independently. I'd like to see that happen, but we're going to have to sharpen our pencil a little bit and make some of these decisions as we go through the year. I don't think it makes sense right now, because even if we said go tomorrow, we're not ready to go on any of these projects from a manpower standpoint, equipment and facilities and those kind of things. So I don't know that there's anything we need to vote on or approve. We just need to go into this year knowing that best case scenario, we can accomplish about half of what we're talking about, and that's gonna, and based on the numbers we have, and we just go forward, and as a board, we'll have to discuss these items once we have a fixed plan on each one, double check our numbers, and then decide whether they're, you know, prioritize and decide whether they're worth moving forward on. To be honest with you, I think the priority for me is the fish pond area is a priority. And I personally think that the RV pads that we've been talking about, whether they're used by members or workers or others, I think that is also a priority to me personally, as well as the ranch headquarters area and fencing and stuff there. I'm just one of seven telling you, out of that list, those are the things that are the highest priority in my mind. Any other comments or questions on future capital projects?
I've got a question for you, Barry. Those work pads, that was kind of coming up in my brain as a potential high priority because it could generate additional revenue, correct?
Like, it could. It could if we had non-members come. If it's members, then we would have to or workers. It's a potential source of income, but it's something that we've talked about with the membership for years and years, and we just have never made it happen. And I think right now is the best chance for us to do that. And it's in nothing but a positive for the ranch. We all have, you know, family reunions and others, and inevitably somebody comes up in an RV and we don't have a place for them to stay. We've had issues with parking RVs next to cabins. This is a solution to a lot of, or a potential solution to a lot of those things.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. And it just seems like if you rented it, you could give some normal, like almost like your cabin nightly rate, you know, for people who wanted to use the RV pads. And if it was a non-member, then charge a normal rate of whatever it is, like $45 a night for an RV pad.
Any other questions or comments on our special projects? Again, I don't think there's anything we need to vote on now, just advising everybody where we're going and what money we have to try to accomplish it.
I would just like to say that I think cabin 6 should be a big priority also. We need that cabin back. And if that's not going to be a priority this year, I would just ask the board to maybe make that decision sooner rather than later, because I am accepting reservations for cabin 6 at this time. In good faith, thinking we would have it ready, I'd just like to contact the members if it won't be available.
Kurt?
I would like to get cabin 6 done. I'm poised and ready to pounce on it. I cut a big hole in the ceiling.
But you better start working.
if you don't want me to do cabin 6, I will patch the hole.
Well, most of these other projects you can't work on until the snow's gone. So let's cabin 6 is important. We got to have places for members to stay that want to come. So
all right,
so. Kurt, I'm happy to help you with it. We just need to coordinate days and times.
Okay, I will get so is that a go ahead on 6? Are we all good with that?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
I'm gonna go to up north on Sunday, and I'm going to buy some doors. I have a pretty cool little plan for that cabin, so I'm going to go up and buy some old doors and stuff like that. We're going to reutilize a lot of stuff.
Send us a summary of what you see happening, so we have a plan that we can look at and see what your plans are and what we can expect to happen there.
Okay. I've got it all broken down.
While you're working on finishing the cabins, please arrange to finish insulating the ranch house, so we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Okay, I'll get that taken care of.
Hey, Mariah, what's the earliest reservation you currently have for cabin 6?
Give me just 1 second, and I will let you know.
The earliest it could possibly be is probably Memorial Day.
That's correct. That would be the earliest. The exact earliest, and that's a good point, because we could block it off. But let me just look here. I have our first reservation in cabin 6. I'm still looking. Sorry. Wasn't that? That's like all those TV shows and drum roll and.
Commercial.
Our first reservation in cabin 6 is June 17th.
Oh, wow. We've got plenty of time.
June 17th.
Yeah, we'd want to do it earlier than that anyway.
Yeah, right now is a good time to be working inside on some of that stuff. So any other questions or concerns on the special projects before we move on?
I got one question for Kurt. In reference to putting solar in some upper cabins and some lower cabins, need to find out how many of the refrigerators that we purchased in the last year or two that were both electric and gas, because we could use those and convert them to electric and not have to buy new ones immediately. So we would be able to put the budget off till the next year.
We have three of those.
All we have is three?
Yeah.
I thought we had more than that. Unfortunately, we don't.
But all right, let's move on to what do we have next
for the consoles.
I'm sorry.
I have a pretty big boneyard for consoles.
All right, let's. What do we have next on the agenda, Mariah?
Next is a discussion on the Facebook page members only list. Kathy would like to visit about.
Yeah, we've got a Facebook page that's members only, and we've got a lot of people that are no longer members. Who maintains that, and what is your thoughts about making it members only?
Brad Hunt's wife is the manager of and the pro, whatever you call the person in charge, the queen of the Facebook page. And in my opinion, if it's going to be members only, it should be members only. That's my two cents worth.
I'm sorry, Mariah, I didn't mean to walk on you. You know, like you've got the Mike and Kathy Duvall. They're
right.
Coming every year. They're no longer members, and I think that they should be able to have access to it just because they are going to be bringing in revenue. They're going to be coming and using it. They've made it very clear they're planning on coming, but there's people that have not had anything to do with it, and they're still on and visiting the site. And I don't know. I just wondered if that's something that
is anybody being a problem? Kathy?
As far as problem, I can't say, but I feel like there's been a little bit of communications and stuff that's gone on behind closed doors of some of the comments have been made, and I think it'd just be a good idea if we mellowed that out.
Can't
and I don't know what the ideas, but you know.
You can't discriminate who you choose to be on it. It's either members only or it's not members only.
And one other thing, we have family members who own lots, but for example, it's in a trust, and so there's children or other entity or other people that would want to be part of that just because it's in a trust. So there's another addition to how do you draw that line?
I think we're talking about two different issues. There have been some discussions that I think are inappropriate on the Facebook page.
Exactly.
Whether that's trying to get votes or whether that's calling people out or whether that's open letters to the members that are unnecessary, if you ask me. But we need to remind members on the page that this is for the exchange of information, weather, pictures, fun stuff like that. Whether we eliminate it or limit it to members or not, I would lean toward limiting it just to members. That would mean members of a trust, or if it's all held by a company, the owners of that company. But I don't know that it's something that's important enough that we're gonna appoint a sheriff to oversee it on a month by month basis. And to be honest with you, if everybody else feels like we should open it up to whoever wants to join, I don't have too much heartburn over that. I have more heartburn over some of the very few, but some of the communications that go on there that has nothing to do with the ranch family and the joys of being part of the ranch. So,
okay.
Let's do this. Let's think about it, and then let's plan on voting what we want to do with the Facebook page in our next meeting. That'll give you a chance to think it over, whether we want to truly make it members only or if we want to open it up. We'll have a little bit of a discussion and a vote, and then from there then we'll contact
Tammy.
Sorry, I had a brain freeze for a second.
I didn't
contact Tammy and let her know this is what we want to do. It the Facebook page belongs to the association. She's handling it. But we can decide how we want to see it moving forward to make it a positive thing.
Great. Sounds great.
What do you got next?
Just a review from each board member to finish up our meeting.
All right. I'll start off. We have nothing in the legal realm as far as things that are happening or to be concerned about. I'm anxious to see some of the projects get done during the springtime before members are back at the ranch. And so I'm relying heavily on Kurt getting his skates on and making some things happen. As far as water goes, then things are kind of on hold until we get back to a warmer season. I think we've made some really good improvements to water. The line that these guys blasted in at the north, at the upper cabin system, and a more permanent fix on the lower water system where it keeps coming apart in the corrals are really positive moves. That upper cabin system's been a problem for 20 years, and I'm glad I got my fingers crossed that once it's completed, then we won't have to budget 2 or 3 weekends every summer to fix it. That's it for my two areas. Larry, you want to tell us about anything, any update you've got on your areas?
I don't really have anything new. We kind of talked about them as we went through.
One second.
If you've been at the ranch lately, you might have seen big pieces of heavy iron moving on site. So I'm in the process of moving a big crusher operation to the ranch. So that will be a benefit to the ranch in general, individual lot owners. Hopefully the county will be motivated a little to put a little more gravel on the road so the county road will be improved. I'm still waiting on some of the equipment that I bought a couple of months ago, and when it gets here, then I'll really know what I have and start putting it together. But that will start coming together. And that being said, that can be another revenue source for the association, but until we get things rolling, we don't know. So I don't want to say, hey, we're looking at another 10, 12, 15 grand for the association, only to fall on my face. So anyway, that's something to look forward to.
We're going to hold you up.
Good to know. Joe, you got anything else in your area?
No, I think we're good.
Awesome. Mike?
I don't have anything to add.
I appreciate Mike participating and working, getting more and more familiar with the water stuff. I'm looking forward to the day that you're the chairman of the water committee, and I can go back to work and generating papers instead of worrying about what's that stuff called? Whether we have that stuff that always pops up in the water test or not.
E. coli.
Any of that stuff. Kathy, you got anything to add?
All good.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else, any of the members have any more comments before we move on with our lives and go out to dinner for Friday night or something?
I think Mike could be the president, the treasurer, and the vice president. We can all take a vacation.
That'd be good. He has the energy to make that happen.
Joe, figure it out.
Well, I hope everybody remembers when you're out to eat tonight to wear your mask. You just have to stuff the food through it. I can't tell you how many times I go to the grocery store and I go to open the bag or something. I go lick my finger and jab myself in the face mask. So.
Did anybody see that video of a guy that's got two masks on?
Huh.
He's got one here and one here, and he opens and eats. It's hilarious.
What's the date for what's the second Saturday of February for our next meeting?
February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day.
Well, we're going to do it on Friday the 12th.
That'd
be a Saturday. 13th is a Saturday.
What is the Saturday after that?
The 20th.
The 20th.
I don't want to mess up Valentine's weekend. Is everybody okay with the 19th on Friday, since we're going to still be doing Zoom unless some miracle happens?
I'm fine with it.
I'm okay with it.
Let's plan on Friday the 19th, same time, which is executive session at 3:30 and meeting at 4.
I have a comment, if I could, please.
Mattress deliveries that day.
Hello?
Go ahead. We can hear you.
This is Michael Jordison, Lot 67. I'd like the board to consider the time of the start of the meetings on Fridays to after normal work hours. To attend the meeting, I have to take an hour off work. I'm just a lot member, so I'm not a board member, but I'd like you to consider moving it at least 1 hour.
Any objections to starting at our executive session at 4:30 and our regular meeting at 5?
No.
I think we can do that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
One other thing I forgot to mention, and I just want you to think about it for a second. So we'll plan on 4:30 on the 19th and on Zoom, and 5 o'clock for a regular meeting. One other thing that we need to address, I had a conversation with the lot owner of lot 2, and just be thinking about this. I'd like to vote on it in our next meeting, and I'll give you more information. But water lines for different water systems have existed across lot 1 for 15, 20 years. I don't know, a long time. They already, 40 years, Larry tells me. The bottom line is they've existed for a long time, which would qualify them for a prescriptive easement anyway. What I would propose is that we ask the lot owners of lot 2 so that they can relax, because I think they're concerned that we're going to try to take those away from them. I think that we have them if they'll get us a survey of where the lines are, that we grant them an easement so that those water lines are legally recognized, and if we ever do anything with lot 1, then they're a part of the public record rather than having a dispute as to whether they should or shouldn't exist. Does anybody have any objection to that?
Nope.
I mean, again, all I'm asking them for is to put together a proposal and a map of where things are. We'll consider it and vote on it, and if it's approved, then I would sign a deed granting them those easements. I think it would help them to be more comfortable, and to be honest with you, it'll clean up the title to lot 1 anyway. So, all right, I have nothing else. I appreciate you guys participating on a Friday afternoon, and hopefully you'll have a great weekend, and we'll see you all. I'm sure we'll talk to you in the meantime, but we'll see you all in February. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.